With us right now, Congressman Ron Kind. Many topics to talk about from Washington in the last week to 10 days. Let's first of all talk about propane and the problems that has caused. I understand that this discussion is at the federal level as well as here in the state. What's happening?
Well, it is. In fact, earlier this evening, I just got off the phone from an elderly couple in Mauston who had to literally make a choice of paying their mortgage or their fuel costs because of the high spike in propane. And because it was fuel over mortgage, they got hit with huge penalties, and now they have to make an upfront payment with it, and they're getting deeper and deeper in the hole. But this is one of many stories, Larry, of the devastating impact of the spike in propane costs because of the deep freeze, the terrible winter that we're trying to go through. You know, there's both the short and long-term strategy with this. I've been working with the administration on hours of service rules to make it easier to transport propane to the high shortage areas. There was a pipeline that we got reversed, sending propane down to Texas. That now is coming up to the Midwest, where we have severe shortages. But ultimately, we need a longer-term strategy so we don't get flat-footed again. And one of the things I've been trying to work with the administration is a national petroleum propane reserve. So when we have a deep freeze and shortages like this, we have a reserve to fall back on. We're producing a lot of propane as a nation. We just happen to be exporting a lot of propane, too. So we need to take care of our own first, and that's what this reserve would do.
It seemed that a lot of people were rather shocked when they learned in the middle of the crisis that we're exporting a lot of propane and it's not getting up here. People just don't understand. Why is that?
Well, it's not just propane. We're exporting a lot of oil and refined petroleum products. We're starting to export more liquefied natural gas. And, you know, let's face it, the Keystone Pipeline that would be, you know, pumped up in Canada, brought down through the pipeline to Cushing and then to the Gulf Coast, 15 of the largest 17 contracts are all destined for export markets. So if anyone thinks that building the Keystone is going to have any domestic impact on our fuel costs, are, I think, fooling themselves. This is going to be shipped overseas to China, to India, and to other countries, and we're not going to get any benefit from it.
Okay, now let's take that example. What if, since we know Nebraska has issues with the pipeline, and you've just told me that a lot of this is contracted for export, what if we had another refinery in Wisconsin and route that pipeline to Wisconsin?
Well, we always get pinched with the lack of refining capacity in this country. There's just a few big ones that control the refineries in our nation, and because of it, they basically control that bottleneck, that supply. And I've always viewed that as a problem. And a lot of it is controlled by just a handful of large oil companies that dominate the market. So one way is to diversify that and try to get some of the smaller guys involved in refinery capacity, too, so we're not so dependent on a fuel for our whole fuel needs. But, you know, this just goes back to another wake-up call. We are long overdue for a national energy strategy. In order to deal with, you know, where we're going as a nation over the next 20, 30 years, what are our energy needs going to be, how can we become more energy efficient, and where is that production going to come from? And we've just kind of been dithering on the margins here, making it up as we go along, and that's not a good strategy for a great nation like ours.
You mentioned the few companies pretty much control the bottleneck. You know, years ago, just mentioning that would have brought an investigation into monopolies and you know, other similar things that would antitrust suits,
right?
Know, things like that.
Well, I agree. I think the antitrust division at the Department of Justice needs to start sitting up and paying closer attention to what's happening with these market consolidations. You can see it in so many different areas. We see it obviously in fuel. We've got a handful of very large oil companies that basically dominate market share. You're starting to see this with the too-big-to-fail banks that exist. The Comcast-Time Warner merger could result in 50% of the market being controlled by just one company. We're seeing a lot more consolidation in production agriculture. And some of these producers now are becoming too big to fail, too, which is a scary idea when what we should be striving for is maintaining a diversified food base in our country rather than being dependent on a few for all of our food needs. And time and again, I think there has been lax oversight and enforcement when it comes to these monopolistic tendencies.
What about the possibility of having more capacity for reserves right here in the Midwest, right here in Wisconsin. Is there any way that government could get involved in helping build that infrastructure?
Well, we can. In fact, I've initiated these conversations right with the president just a couple of weeks ago himself, but also with the Department of Energy and USDA and others that are involved in fuel maintenance in our country. And again, I think we need to have a longer-term vision so we don't get caught flat-footed. There was a convergence of a lot of factors that led to the drive-up of these prices, the drying costs last fall, the deep freeze that's reached to the deep south. You know, their demand has spiked where it normally doesn't during the winter months. And, you know, the transportation issues, but also the export issue, too. And I think it would be wise for us to be considering a propane reserve. So if we get another polar vortex, we'll be better prepared for it.
Do you believe that we need other reserves as well, since the export market seems to send a lot of our petroleum overseas in other fuels, not just propane?
Well, one of the big issues Congress will have to at some point address, because there's growing push for it, is exporting our natural gas. Right now, there are certain restrictions on how much of it can be exported. The big companies obviously producing it, they want to be able to sell it to the highest bidder, which means foreign countries that are in desperate need of it. And that would come at an expense to us. And right now, one of the things manufacturing, and especially advanced manufacturing, is benefiting from in this country are the cheaper natural gas prices, which has suddenly made them globally competitive. In fact, we're seeing many companies now moving their operations back to the United States because of the access and the expense of these energy prices. So it has given us a competitive advantage. But if we suddenly turn our natural gas into a world commodity like oil is today, well, then that price is going to be driven by China demand or India demand and not just what we need here domestically.
Anything we should also add to the conversation on fuel?
No, but I think we're scratching the surface, Larry, when it comes to enhanced energy efficiency. There's two ends of this equation, the demand and the supply. We've been talking a lot about the supply, where it's going to come from, how do we make sure it's there and available when we need it. But we've got to be smarter consumers of energy, too. We've got to be investing in energy-efficient products in homes and buildings and cars and try to reduce that energy demand overall. Recent study came out that showed if we deploy existing technology today without having to invent anything new, we could reduce our energy consumption by 30% overnight. So I think there's a lot of area there that we can move into to try to reduce the demand of energy and become much more efficient in the years that come.
One thing I neglected to ask you earlier when we were talking about the Keystone Pipeline, several people in and out of government are opposed to the Keystone Pipeline. I've heard some environmentalists say that they are opposed to the Keystone Pipeline, but I have not heard environmentalists trying to stop the trains of petroleum that have what's been labeled as inadequate tank cars. Yeah. Is that an issue?
It's a huge issue. In fact, I've had some listening sessions and some meetings in Wisconsin with community officials who are very concerned about the safety of this highly toxic oil that's coming from the Bakken Range right through our own communities. And these rail lines inevitably hook up with major population centers. This past year, we've had 10 derailments. Of course, everyone may have heard about the Quebec one that lost over 21 lives because of the spill and the explosion that ensued. And the communities that I've been meeting with are concerned about the lack of preparedness. How do we prevent it? And what do we do in response to, God forbid, if something were to happen in our own backyard? So I've reached out to transportation officials. There has been some action taken by the Obama administration. Recently, a full disclosure of the contents of these cars and the danger of them. We need, as quickly as possible, an upgrade with the tanker cars that are now being used to transport this oil. The old DOT 111s are inadequate. They've proven through these derailments that they're not safe and leads to these toxic spills. I was glad to see Warren Buffett respond to a request that I made, since he's primary owner of BNSF, that he's going to devote about $5.5 billion to upgrading the latest rail cars, which are safer. But we need to test those rail cars to see how safe they are. And then other measures that can be taken, too. Greater disclosure, notification, slowing the speeds down, especially when they're coming into populated areas. And we need to work with the rail industry very closely in order to reduce the potential danger.
I'm going to put you on the spot. Are you for or against the Keystone Pipeline?
Well, it's going to happen. I believe the administration is going to be making a decision here in the next couple of months, but I'm glad they've been running it through the hoops. I mean, Nebraska, for instance, objected over the original siting right over their precious aquifers. If there were a spill, if it did hit their water supply, that state would get wiped out because of the lack of the water that they need then. So there had to be a recalculation there. But I don't think we should fool people in having them believe that this is going to lead to a reduction in domestic energy prices when most of it is destined for foreign markets. The real question is, if you build this pipeline, will it entail greater production from this very, I think, dirty tar sands in Canada? And that's one of the concerns that some have, is that by building the pipeline, you're going to be ramping up the production of what perhaps is one of the greatest contributors to the global warming, these tar sands up in Canada. So I think it's only a matter of time before the administration makes a decision. They've had it for quite some time, and quite frankly, I think it's time for a decision so people know if it's going to happen or if they have to go to a plan B instead.
Well, we know that Canada is going to continue to produce the tar sands oil. It's just a matter of, does it go to China or does it go to us?
Yeah, and what they've told us, and in fact I met with a group of members of Canadian Parliament this past week, is if the pipeline isn't built, and that's the most convenient route to getting it to market, you know, that could slow down the production in the tar sands. They'd still produce, but perhaps not as wide and not as prevalent as they otherwise would. And everyone who's looked at it understand that that production in the tar sands is perhaps one of the greatest contributors to global warming and the release of CO2 into our atmosphere. So that, too, is, you know, another item to be weighed in the calculation.
Many people believe that transporting by rail car through a system of above-ground lines in populated areas at unpredictable times is more environmentally dangerous and more of a danger to human life than building the pipeline. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, and it's cheaper to build the pipeline, although pipelines do experience leaks from time to time, too. And we had a recent one out west that just leaked. We had a barge in the southern part of the Mississippi that spilled over 38,000 gallons of oil that shut down traffic for a few days. These things happen. And so I think people need to be wide-eyed and clear in the danger and the susceptibility of a lot of this. But the oil being produced at Bakken now is mainly rail shipments. It wouldn't go into this pipeline. That would be just the Canadian oil going down to Cushing, Oklahoma. And so the fact is, it is being produced. It needs to be delivered to market. We need to figure out the safest and most efficient route without jeopardizing too many people.
Congressman Ron Kind joining us to discuss energy policy, the Keystone Pipeline, and the propane shortage on WSAU.com.